Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your awesomeness. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for loving us. And God, I just ask that you touch your people in a special way tonight. Take us even deeper into your bosom, deeper into that place in you that you so desire us for us to go. That place where the enemy can no longer touch us, harass us, place us in fear, condemnation. Father God, free us up tonight to be all that you called us to be. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the days ahead are going to be troubling days, but they're also going to be glorious days. God is going to do a great and a mighty thing for his people, to his people, and in through his people. We just have to make it to that place. And I see so many getting discouraged and disheartened, and that's the wrong place to be in. You should be in a place of total expectation, expecting God to move immediately in your life and in your situations. He can move at any given second, and you can't make him move before he's ready to. But please don't get discouraged, and don't feel like he's abandoned you, because he has not. He really has not. He's doing a work behind the scenes that you know not of. And he's really preparing you for this great and mighty drop of his glory. And I'm also saying the great and mighty onslaught of the darkness that's going to prevail across this land. And see if we can just allow him to permeate us, you know, just go deep inside of us. The darkness won't ever bother us. We won't ever get discouraged or anything, because we'll be so caught up and so engrossed in him that the darkness will mean absolutely nothing to us, you know. And if we can't do it now, we're not going to make it when the gross darkness comes. If you're going to get discouraged at every little thing that goes on in your life right now, you might as well just go ahead and walk on and just forget about it, because it isn't even hard yet. Even though we think it is, it really isn't even hard yet. It's going to get harder. It's going to get darker. And I'm hearing God say, some of you, you have a slave mentality, and you need to get out of that slave mentality. You don't have to do what the enemy is telling you you have to do. Amen. You don't have to do what God's telling you to either, but I suggest that you do. Amen. I've entitled this, When God Suddenly's Come, because God told me to preach on the suddenlies. Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And suddenly there came from heaven. We need to be reminded again tonight that our God is the God of suddenlies. He's suddenly going to change everything about you. So what is a suddenly? A suddenly is something supernatural. It is something birthed out of God's sovereignty and manifested in his divine providence. There is always something supernatural with God's suddenlies, either for good or for disaster. Excuse me, but always supernatural. If you guys spray anything here, don't spray anything around the pulpit, please, because it really messes me up. Let me get a drink of water here. You know, if you look around about you, you'll see that not many people are here, right? They aren't. You know, what people are doing is they're going wherever they think the revival is, and they're not going where the Spirit of God is abiding. There's a difference, you know. So if they feel like, so you called off revival, then I'm not going to come no more. So what can I receive if you're not in a spirit of revival? You, as an individual, are supposed to be in a spirit of revival every day yourself. Revival starts in you, not in the church. Are you understanding this? And this is why many are going to be left standing on the riverbank when the glory comes, because they just thought, well, nothing's happening there, so I'm just going to go on and see what's happening over here next door. And while they're over next door, God's glory is going to come, and then they're going to miss out on God, and God said they won't be able to come back in. Are you listening here? I look around at every service and I see people, different people who keep coming back over and over again. Why do they keep coming back over and over again? Because they need what's going on in the church. They need that anointing to strengthen them. They need that prophetic word to encourage them to go on. And this is why they keep from different areas. That's why they keep coming back, because they always come back. God said they need strengthened today. So they always come back when they're bone weary and when they're drained, and they come back for a fresh infilling. So that should excite you to know that they come to sit at God's table. And they come there to come and sit at God's table because they know there's good food at God's table. All right? So you don't get discouraged and you don't get downcast, but you understand that they're just not where they should be yet in Christ Jesus, rooted and grounded in Him. All right, we need to be reminded again tonight that our God is a God of suddenlies. What is a suddenly? A suddenly is something supernatural. It is something birthed out of God's sovereignty and manifested in His divine providence. Birthed out of God's sovereignty and manifested in His divine providence. There is always something supernatural with God's suddenlies, either for good or for disaster, but always supernatural. In the book of Acts, we read a powerful narrative about one of God's suddenlies. Jesus had told His disciples right before He ascended to heaven in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That was just a statement He made to them, right? They either had to receive it by faith or just forget it. Now, there was the absolute sovereign promise of God, and now they had to wait on God's timing of the providential fulfillment of the promise. God spoke it, now they had to wait to come to pass. So after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, we see the disciples living their lives, waiting on the promise and faithfully praying together. See, this is what happens to people. Okay, so God didn't do it, so I'm going to go someplace else and see if He'll do it someplace else. No, it sees you have to wait upon the Lord. You don't go running around chasing after it. You have to wait until God gives it to you. The text says, when the day of Pentecost arrived. We live out our days and God has His days. We live out our days and God has His days. We don't know when that is. Thus, we must live by faith, trust, and obedience to what we know we are to do. This is not always easy when times get tougher. God seems slow, right? We don't know when that is. Thus, we must live by faith, trust, and obedience to what we know we are to do. This is not always easy. When times get tougher, God seems slow. Sometimes He seems to me as slow as molasses. The day, you say God, right? The days go by and nothing happens or things get worse, right? But never forget that God has a day in the midst of the days that we wait. God has this specific time plan for the fulfillment of His promise, the day of Pentecost. He has a special day when He's going to drop the glory in this church. And He doesn't care who's here, who is not here. He's going to do it on that day. And like He told me years ago, you cannot make my glory come. He said, I'll do it in my timing. And so some of you are trying to make things happen in your life. It is not yet God's timing for it to happen. Why? Because you're not ready yet for that thing to happen in your life. You would destroy it. Are you listening here? Like when I was out in the evangelistic field, I was having a good time, but all of a sudden God pulled me in off the evangelistic field, and I asked, you know, a while later, I said, why did you do that? He said, because it was getting too rough for you. The enemy would have destroyed you out there. I had to pull you in out of the evangelistic field to teach you what the church is all about. And they were a bunch of wolves. And the wolves were getting ready to attack me, and God knew I was not ready for that, because I just was still in a mode where it just everything's hunky-dory, peachy-peachy, you know, and I wasn't ready for the church to start devouring me. I am now, though. He's toughened me. Are you understanding this? He'll pull you in. because he knows what's going to happen. He knows you're not quite ready. You don't have enough knowledge yet to understand what's going to happen to you. You don't know how to fight. There are two different Greek words for time in the Bible. It's chronos and kairos. Chronos is defined as time indefinitely or a certain time, period, season, or space of time. It's defined as time indefinitely or a certain time, period, season, or space of time. Kairos is defined as the right season, the right time for action, and the critical moment. Chronos is linear time, the normal day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year passage of time. In Chronos times, our walk with the Lord is characterized by our daily faithfulness and obedience to follow His voice. Change is measured as we look back over our lives and see how the Lord's hand has guided us faithfully, one step at a time, one day at a time. However, at specific times in history, God suddenly and sovereignly steps from eternity into the earthly timeline with us suddenly to effect His perfect plan and purposes. How many of you sitting here tonight, you know, you prayed, you cried, you yelled, you screamed, you did everything you could, then all of a sudden, bloop, God showed up and fixed it, right? Just about the time you thought He's never going to do it, that's when He does it. Normal rules that govern time and change are suspended. All right, let me start that over again. However, at specific times in history, God suddenly and sovereignly steps from eternity into the earthly timeline with a suddenly to effect His perfect plan and purposes. Normal rules that govern time and change are suspended. His supernatural becomes our natural. The intersection of eternity and earthly time produces sudden acceleration that propels us forward into His purposes. All the natural stuff dies, and the supernatural comes into our lives, into being, and causes us to do the things that God is calling us forth to do. That is what we see here in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. On that day, something happens. God suddenly happened. Acts 2, 2 through 4. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Years ago, Tommy Tenney, isn't that his name? In his church here in Baltimore, you know, his pastor was out of town, and somebody from the flock was preaching. And they were just sitting there listening to the sermon, and suddenly God showed up, and I think He knocked Tommy Tenney out of his seat, under a seat, or something like that. And He touched Tommy until he was totally and completely changed and rearranged, and he went about writing books and doing great and mighty things. Now, they were not expecting that, but God just showed up suddenly, and even without the pastor there. So you see, it doesn't matter who's there, who is not there. If God decides to show up and show off, He just does. And then He blesses who's ever there. Are you understanding this? So don't put God in the box. Think, well, God can't do it if we're not doing this, and God can't do it if we're not doing that, or somebody has to be there, or somebody doesn't have to be there. God knows His perfect time, and He knows exactly what He's doing, and He's going to do it in your life in His timing. Well, I have to pray more. Well, I have to fast more. Well, you know, my mother has to be here with me. Or whatever your reasoning is, that is not true. You just have to wait patiently for the Lord, and He will come, and He will drop into you a suddenly and change your life forever. All right. We are to bank on His daily indwelling presence and grace. Walk in the obedience of this faith, and yet pray day and night for the outpouring of power from on high. So how many of you pray day and night, God, let your glory come? I do all the time. That's one of the things that's top of my priority list when I start praying. God, let this be the day your glory drops, or let this be the time or the season. But we cannot make the Spirit come. Amen. God told me that when He first told me, you cannot make me bring that glory, so don't even try. When He comes suddenly. He will never become anyone's bellhop. God keeps His own hours. He knows what is best for us. His suddenly birthed the church 2,000 years ago and is still going strong today. God's suddenlies, not yours, but God's suddenlies are always dramatic. Suddenly means that in an unexpected manner, something will happen without us being notified. I want to stop there. If you think about, the funny preacher, what's his name? Jesse Duplantis. His grandmother prayed and prayed and prayed for him. You know, he was on drugs and he had his own band and he was a mess. And she prayed and prayed. He said, "It's never going to happen. I'm never going to serve the Lord." But one day he was in the bathroom at one of his band things he had. And the Holy Spirit fell on him. And that was all it wrote. He was changed from that moment on. And his grandmother said, "Yep, God's going to get you. No, he's not. God's going to get you. No, he's not. God's going to get you." God got him in that bathroom. What an unexpected trip, right? So don't say that God can't bring a suddenly into your life. Suddenlies are hard to understand because of the surprise element. I'm quite sure Jesse was quite surprised. The supreme element creates an emotional response in us. Many times in our waiting for God to move, we get weary of looking for a suddenly. That's where the church is at today. Many times in our waiting for God to move, we get weary of looking for a suddenly. I'm the church too, you know, so I'm not excluding myself. In that context, the word suddenly is just so exciting. Think about it. One moment, a routine, a trial, a hopeless situation, but the next moment, that situation can be completely overtaken by events. Look at, in fact, God had taken over and is now controlling those events in the most dramatic fashion. Look at Brother Brett. He's got his book out there and everybody's excited. He's in a poorhouse now, but you know, overnight he could be in a mansion somewhere. You know, if his books find favor, he could go from poor to riches in an overnight situation. I hear his mind now, clickety, 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 click, you know. The scripture speaks of God's suddenlies in Job 1:18 through 19. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Job had a suddenly, didn't he? Suddenly he lost all of his kids. In Psalm 73:8, no, God's not going to do that and make you lose your kids. You have to put up with them. In Psalm 73:18 and 19, "Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors." You might have a thorn in the flesh just driving you to distraction. Then all of a sudden, suddenly you realize, like Paul did, hey, it's not there anymore. God can do a suddenly and remove that thorn just like that in an instant, in a week. God told me I could just wink my eye and accomplish anything I want to accomplish. Maybe we should go around winking our eyes. Amen. In Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. See that? Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. You know, people who think they can go on, keep right on sinning and laughing God's face, one day, it's going to happen and they won't be able to turn back. In Isaiah 48:3, "I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted it and they came to pass." I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. In Daniel, Habakkuk, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, Thessalonians, and the list goes on and on and on. You can read of the suddenlies of God. These suddenlies are God's way of showing his awesome power. Just when we think that things will continue on as they have before, just when we think today will be no different than yesterday, just when we think things are hopeless, God shows up and sends us showers of blessings suddenly. It is one of his favorite things to do. You know, so guys, when things aren't going right during the day, week after week after week, don't lose hope. because God does have a suddenly for your situation, and suddenly he's going to move. And when he moves suddenly, you're going to say, oh, why didn't you wait a little bit longer? I wasn't ready for that suddenly, right? So be careful what you ask God to do quickly. In the summer of 1871, two women of Dwight L. Moody's congregation felt an unusual burden to pray for Moody, that the Lord would give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost and of fire. Moody would see them praying in the front row of his church, and he was irritated. But soon he gave in, and in September began to pray with them every Friday afternoon. He felt like his ministry was becoming a sounding brass with little power. On November 24, 1871, Moody's church building was destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire. He went to New York to seek financial help. Day and night he would walk the streets, desperate for the touch of God's power in his life. Then suddenly Moody wrote, "One day in the city of New York, oh, what a day! I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me the entire world, it would be small dust in the balance." In other words, he doesn't want to go back to where he was before he got touched by God. Suddenly, God touched Moody. Amen. Moody prayed, and he obeyed, and he waited. But he did not make the Spirit come. He came suddenly. When the Spirit comes in power, he comes suddenly, on his own terms and in his own time. You know, I look at the young kids around here and I think, why don't they change? But I also say it's going to take an act of God to change the people in the church. Because the anointing's been here, the preaching's been here, the word's been here, you know, prophetic word's been here, chastising's been here, and the people start to change. It's going to take a suddenly of God to change the people. Amen. So instead of losing heart, instead of pointing fingers and judging, what we need to do is say, all right, God, I'm waiting for the suddenly. I'm waiting for that suddenly. During the first great awakening and the great outpouring of the Spirit in Northampton, Massachusetts, under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, Gilbert Tennant, and George Whitefield, over 25,000 to 50,000 people were added to their churches in New England. This was over 7 to 14% of the population. One woman who had been infamous for her immorality was suddenly converted in December of 1734. Her life was so radically changed that the whole town was amazed at the power of God's grace, and during the next 6 months, 300 people out of a town of 1,100 were converted. See, when God brings us suddenly and changes a heathen, you know, people are going to take notice, and lives are going to be changed. We must always remember the God of suddenly. God is not in a hurry, but he is a God of suddenlies. Our God is a God of suddenlies. When I say he is not in a hurry, wasn't it 400 years they waited? He kept saying the Messiah was coming. 400 years later, he arrived on the scene. He was not in a hurry. Amen? Come on. So what makes us any different? Why do we think God has to move overnight in our situations? I want you to think about that. You know, it could be maybe you still haven't been perfected in patience. You haven't been perfected in long-suffering and compassion and grace. And so God's going to let that mountain loom before you until you do the things that he's calling you forth to do or to become. Amen. God can suddenly break an addiction. He can suddenly heal your body. He can suddenly give you that promotion. So what should you be praying? God, the suddenlies. You know, somebody's addiction, God, your word said you can suddenly break that addiction, right? You can suddenly heal somebody's body, right? And you can suddenly give somebody that promotion that they so desperately need. So instead of us whining, we should just say, God, I'm sitting here waiting for you suddenly to occur in my life or in my circumstances, whatever it is. Amen. The enemy's goal is to steal your hope, and I can guarantee you that quite a few in here, he's done a real good job of stealing your hope. He wants to get you down and discouraged so you will give up and settle for less than God's best. Hear that? The enemy wants to get you down and discouraged so you will give up and settle for less than God's best. Don't be deceived. No matter how many disappointments you've encountered, God can turn things around for you in a split second of time. When I'm chasing old Isaiah around the house and he's throwing things here and there, and everywhere, I say, God, make it just suddenly change him. You know, just make it stop suddenly in his tracks and just quit. One touch of his favor can suddenly restore relationships. One touch of his favor can suddenly restore relationships. See, what we do things all wrong, and the reason why we're not getting the suddenlies is because we're not expecting God to move. We're complaining about the situation that we're in. And God can't move in that kind of an atmosphere. We have to trust him. We have to know that he is in control and that he is doing a perfect work. No matter whether we think he is or not, he keeps telling me, he used to tell me, daughter, I'm working behind the scenes. So now I've learned not to fuss and moan and groan and complain. Just know that he's working behind the scenes, and one day a suddenly will appear and things will change. But he has to work behind the scene and get people's lives in the right order so he can do your suddenly for you, and maybe even your life in order so he can do your suddenly for you. Where am I at? One touch of his favor can suddenly restore relationships. One touch of his goodness can solve that problem you're facing today. Just one touch from Almighty God can instantly change your life. Just one touch. It's all that's needed. Sometimes what happens is, by your attitude, you're telling God, I don't even want you to touch a situation. I don't want to suddenly. I just want you to kill them. You know? I want you to bring that wind and blow them away. And that isn't what God wants. He wants us to have patience and love and long-suffering and not grow weary and just allow him to do things the way he wants to do them. When you tell someone about your future and about the plans God is working out for you, and they tell you it won't happen overnight, just smile and say, my God is a God of suddenlies. In other words, he can do it overnight if he wants to. And even while I wait patiently on him, he's working out those suddenlies for the appropriate time in my life. Are you hearing me, guys? He really is. Do you know how sometimes I say, God, I keep saying the same things over and over and over again, and nothing's happening? He says, keep saying them over and over and over again, because they are going to happen. Do you know how discouraged a pastor gets when they stand behind the pulpit and tell you something and it doesn't happen? They tell you because God said to tell you, and then it doesn't happen. Then you see people looking at you and say, well, what's your problem up there? You just told me something that isn't going, that hasn't happened. Well, God said it, and he's going to do it. He needs a vessel to speak through you. He's not going to stand here and say, listen to me. Hear what I have to say. You know, boom his voice out in the air. He always has a vessel to work through. Amen. I wish it was like that, don't you? We'd all be laying on our flat on our face, like the Israelite children did, scared to death God was going to kill them. Acts 16:23-26, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into stocks. But at midnight, this was Paul and Silas, by the way, but at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, Paul and Silas, these soldiers were so afraid of him, they put him in the innermost part of the prison. And they said the innermost part of the prison is where the sewage runs through. So they're sitting in there and all the sewage running around them. And they're praising God. Isn't that what it says? They were singing, praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. Just not Paul and Silas, but everyone's chains were loose. Just because Paul and Silas were praising the Lord in the midst of their trial and tribulation. You know, if we would just learn to praise the Lord in the midst of our trials and tribulations, not only us would get free, but those around about us would be set free. Moses is a shepherd tending his father-in-law's sheep when suddenly he hears from God through a burning bush and his entire life changes. Joseph is serving time in prison when suddenly he gets a call from Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. The Jews are backed up to the sea and wondered how long it will take for God or Moses to deliver them. Then suddenly the waters part. Elijah and his servant appear to be surrounded by the enemy, but suddenly God opens their eyes to see the myriad of hosts in heaven. The remnant of God's people wonder how long it will be before the Messiah comes, and suddenly an angel appears to Mary and angel appears to Joseph, and 9 months later, angel suddenly appears speaking and singing to frightened shepherds. Dozens, if not hundreds, are caught up in human misery of one form or another when suddenly Jesus touches them and heals them. The prodigal's father waits and waits for his son's return, if ever, when suddenly down the road a son appears. How many of you in here, you have prodigals? You're waiting for their return. Well, suddenly, in this dispensation, they're going to return. The women and other disciples are despondent about losing Jesus when suddenly he speaks to them in the garden, then appears to them in the upper room. Stephen wonders how long he will have to endure stoning when suddenly he is ushered into his Savior's presence. Can you imagine being there being stoned to death? Wouldn't that be a horrible death? You just pray to God, one of them hits your temple or something right at the right spot and kills you instantly, right? So Stephen wonders how long he will have to endure stoning when suddenly he is ushered into his Savior's presence. Paul and his companions are locked in prison when suddenly the prison doors swing open. When revival breaks out, I didn't mean to put that word two in there. When revival breaks out, suddenly stumbling and bumbling disciples become bold soldiers and courageous warriors for God. I'm so excited about that. I can't stand myself. You guys will finally be soldiers. Yes. Suddenly God pours out, I'm just joking. Suddenly God pours out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams. Won't it be wonderful to see your backslidden children sitting in the house of God, yes, prophesying and seeing visions? Yes. Won't that be wonderful? Suddenly the word of God is preached with power, conviction, and boldness, and 3,000 people are cut to the heart and ask what we must do. Suddenly repentance is proclaimed and nobody is ashamed to repent. Suddenly preachers speak in other tongues and people hear in their own language. Suddenly comes there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, all are one in Christ Jesus. Suddenly comes anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed away and all things have become new. In other words, suddenly everything we've been preaching is going to work. Amen? And so it goes. The suddenlies will come and they will go. Now, are you ready to receive a suddenly? Are you really ready for God to suddenly come into your atmosphere and change you and everyone around about you? We're always saying that, you know, God changed my children, God changed my mate, but really it's you that needs to be changed. And when you get that mindset that it's you that needs to be changed, then God can bring a suddenly into your midst, but not before. So tonight, you know, what you need to do is not quit saying, God, change this person or change that person, but say, God, change me. Place a suddenly on me and change me into the vessel of honor that you desire for me to be, so I quit looking at everybody else's flaws. Amen. Change me to be the servant that you called me forth to be. Until we get that mindset, the suddenlies are not going to come into your life. Did you ever think that maybe a suddenly would kill you? It could. When you have the wrong mindset, if God put a suddenly on you, it could kill you, but do what he wanted to do with those around about you. Tonight, what God wants to do is he wants you to sit there and think of a suddenly that you need to happen in your life. I don't care if it's one or two, whatever. And whenever you have that in your clear in your mind, what suddenly you want God to do for you tonight, then come up. Because God said he's going to touch you, and that suddenly is going to appear in your life.